بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على أتقى الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Peace and blessings be constantly showered upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, his family, and his companions to the day of judgment. My beloved brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, as we move in another day in Ramadan, moving toward the middle of the month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us again be able to listen to the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And the great scholars have shown us that in order to really understand the Quran, we need to have three levels of movement. The first is tahsin tilawati, and then wa tadabbur ayatihi, and finally wa itba' awamirihi. So the first is tahsin tilawati, and that is the beautification of the recitation. The second level of really understanding the Quran itself, really benefiting from it, is tadabbur ayati, and that is to reflect upon its verses. And finally, itba' awamirihi, where we implement or we follow its commands. And so in order to fully benefit from the Qur'an, we have to have some sort of a background as to when it was revealed, because the verses in the Qur'an are actually, for the most part, revealed in specific situations. And this understanding, asbab al-nuzul, is what helped the ulama develop great books of tafsir, to understand what the language meant, and then the conditions at the time of the revelation. Tonight we are looking at Surah An-Nur from verse 19, and Surah Al-Furqan, and Surah Shu'ara. And these are three important chapters. Of the three, Surah An-Nur, of course, is considered to be one of the primary chapters in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a very crucial chapter in which many important aspects of Islam were revealed. And this chapter is Madaniyah, which means it was revealed in Medina. And it is in Medina that the ahkam, that the rules of Islamic lifestyle, were actually codified during that period of time. This particular chapter gives us a beautiful look at what they would call today social empowerment. And we're looking for empowerment in the different chapters of the Quran. This is one of the themes that goes throughout the book of Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is empowering a small group of people that they would be the vanguard to impact upon their nation and the world and people to the day of resurrection. And so in Surah An-Nur, it is a type of social empowerment, but this empowerment is done through morality. So this chapter brings a lot in the relationship of male and female, in developing families, in maintaining Islamic purity, and also developing the limits that establish our relationships, our families, our communities, and ultimately our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, in the heart of this chapter and the verses, or part of the verses that we will be reading today, are verses 11 to around 26 or so. And these particular verses were revealed in a very crucial time period. And that was in a great ghazwa, a great battle that happened, a confrontation with a group called the Banu Mustalik. The Banu Mustalik had threatened the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ took his companions out in order to stop this threat and to help the young community develop in its early stages. This is like 5 years after the Hijrah was completed. And by the mercy of Allah, the confrontation was not a major one. And Banu Mustalaq were putting out a lot of negative propaganda against Islam. They took to their heels and they ran. But what is so important about this confrontation is not what happened between the Muslims and the non-Muslims, but what happened as a result of being in that place. The Prophet ﷺ was in the habit of taking one of his wives with him on many of his journeys. And in this case, Aisha radiallahu anha was chosen to come on the journey. And after the confrontation was over and the caravan left, there were special people who were assigned to the camel and the compartment, this hawdat, the compartment where Aisha would stay on the top of the camel. And she was a woman, a very light body, and it was sometimes difficult to even know whether she was inside of this compartment or not. And so as Allah willed, just before they were about to leave, she looked and realized that her necklace, which was made from beads of zafar, this is a special bead she had on her necklace, it was lost. So she left out of the camel, and she went a little bit away into the desert area where she thought she may have left this necklace, and she was looking around. When she returned to the caravan, it was gone. Now imagine this situation. The wife of the Prophet ﷺ, the mother of the believers, is alone in the desert. She wrapped herself up in her garment and she waited, believing strongly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect her and would send somebody who would help her back to safety. Lo and behold, one of the believing scouts, Safwan ibn Mu'attal, he was sweeping the area, and he saw from a distance, he saw Aisha radiallahu anha, and he had known her even before the verses of the hijab were revealed. And so he knew that that was Aisha. And as he came close to her, he said, "Mother of the believers." And she said, "Yes." And so having the edib of Islam, he then set his camel down. She got into on the camel, and they made their way back to Medina, hoping that they would reach the caravan before they reached Medina. But they never did. And so the scenario is set for the revealing of these verses in Surah An-Nur. Safwan is coming into the city, pulling the camel. He's rescued the mother of the believers, but she's there, and the two of them are alone. And this is where the weakness of human beings comes in, and those with disease in their heart or a weakness in their personalities looked up along with the hypocrites. And they said, "Oh, Safwan and Aisha." So immediately the evil came in their mind and they started to spread rumors. Aisha was very sick after this journey, and she went into her house and stayed almost 20 days in this state of illness. But the word was now spreading around, and this even affected the Prophet ﷺ. He was not sure. And there were certain people who, from the weakness of their hearts, were leading the scandal against Aisha radiallahu anha. The scandal rose in its strength, and finally the Prophet ﷺ came to her and said, "If you have done something wrong, just admit it. Allah will receive your repentance." She was, and that really made her angry, because she felt, "How could you even accuse me or consider that this would happen?" And so her father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and the believers in her inner family protected her. But she began to cry, and her mother was crying, and they continued to cry for a period of time. The scandal continued around until finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses. They go from about verse 11 to 26. We're on 19, so we're going to begin right in the middle of these verses, and it begins, "Inna alladhina ja'u bil ifki usbatun minkum." that those who have come with the scandal are a group from amongst you. Then Allah said, I'll read the part of the translation because of time. Verily, do not think it is evil for you. Nay, it is good for you. Every one of them has earned a sin. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed this verse. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when revelation was coming to him, and he would start to sweat heavy, they would sit him down in a chair, and they wrapped him up, and beads of sweat poured off his head, and the revelation then came to him, and then he came out of this state that he would go into when the revelation would come. And he wiped off the sweat, and he called Aisha, and he said, Bushra. He said, good news, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed your innocence, that you are innocent. And with the same verse, it confirmed that those who have a disease in their heart, that they will have a punishment in this life and the hereafter. And so in Surah An-Nur, it is confirmed that people who scandalize Muslim women and who do not bring four witnesses, eyewitnesses to that they should receive a punishment of Damanina Jalda, 80 lashes. And so, three individuals in particular who stood up in this scandal, one named Mistah, and then Hassan ibn Thabit, and Hamna bin Jash, who was the sister of the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. These people were heavily involved in the scandal, and so they received a punishment, and Aisha radiallahu anha, she was relieved of this. But what this did, it set a precedent in Islamic law and also in relationship, again, to protect the believing women from any negativity that might fall. In verse 35 of Surah An-Nur, as you will hear, this is the beautiful theme verse, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. And you will see the beautiful light that is in the lamp in the glass. This is in a niche. And this is, it gives a distant light, this niche with the lamp and the light, you know, which is lit with zaytun, a type of olive oil. It is not east, it is not west. It is really the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this brings out in a beautiful metaphoric way the light of hidayah, the light of guidance that comes into the hearts of the believers. And it also brings out the beautiful light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not fluorescent or electricity. This is the light of the creator of the heavens and the earth. It is the very light of faith and the light of knowledge and the light of guidance and the light of the essence of life itself. So this particular verse is one that the scholars have pondered over for centuries, trying to understand nurun ala nur, light upon light, that a person can have light inside of them, being a good person. And when faith comes, it is light upon light. A person can be a believer when knowledge comes, it's light upon light. A family, a society can gain this beautiful light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is Surah An-Nur, the verse of the light, which empowers the Muslims with morality, with strong families. And Surah Al-Furqan continues in its discussion of empowerment. This is the chapter of Ibadur Rahman. And here we see we are empowered with character, with manners. And Ibadur Rahman, this shows us some very crucial qualities. In conclusion, we want to look at some of the qualities of Ibadur Rahman. Aladina Yamshuna Al-Ardi Haunan. Very famous verses. Humility. They give salams to peace, even ignorant people. They're steady in prayer. They're steady in their spending in the path of Allah. They do not commit shirk, polytheism. They do not commit murder. They do not commit adultery and fornication. They protect themselves. And if they make a mistake, then they turn to Allah in tawbah, in repentance. This is the beautiful Ibadur Rahman. It's an empowerment for us. An empowerment through character, through manners. And we need today to be empowered with this. It is one of the greatest shields that we have against the evil that is surrounding us. It is the beautiful character of Islam and the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nurun ala nur, light upon light. I leave you with these thoughts, and I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to have mercy on me and you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.